Now I have the pleasure and the privilege of inviting Monica Muldoon up, who's going to bring us the word today. And I'm just going to pray for her. Yes, yes, love to pray for you. The two Monicas. Now you're seeing. It's Monica M and Monica C. So that's us. That's us. That's right. Monica squared. Monica squared, yeah. Father, thank you for Monica. Thank you for the gifts that you've given her. Thank you for her willingness to share them with us. I thank you for the prep that she's done, Lord. I thank you for the way you've been speaking to her this week. And I pray now, Father, that you would just refine what she says. Open our ears to hear what you really want to say to us this morning. And I pray your blessing on her, Lord, as she speaks. May she be filled. As she pours out, may she be filled. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Did you survive the cold? Yeah, feels like Canada. Why? No. Okay, so let's look at the passage. Let's go to the next slide. So this is what we're doing today. The title you just saw is the title for the sermon, Seen by Your Father. And today we're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount, and we're looking at Matthew 6, 1 to 4. So I'm going to read from the ESV, so if you want to pull out your Bible on your phone or the book Bible, you're welcome to do that. We're going to look at this passage. So I'll read it out. So it's titled, Giving to the Needy. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. All right, so just as a disclaimer, prepping this was very convicting. And I want to say that when I'm sharing this, I'm approaching this with you as let's go on this journey of healing together and not as a place or I've got this all figured out. But we're just going to let Jesus do his thing in our hearts. And that's kind of how I want you to, that we're approaching it today. So we're actually have entered a new section in the Sermon on the Mount. So if we go to the next slide, Micah, the next one actually. So I just want to give you a sense of where we are on this journey, because this is a long process of walking through the Sermon on the Mount. It was a long sermon. And this sort of, this is from my study Bible, gives you a sense of where we're at. So we're at C, which is the development of kingdom life in the real world, starting in chapter 6. So we're in a new section, which is exciting. Woohoo! Anyone's excited? Okay, that's okay. I'm excited. I'm going to get you excited. We're in a new section. So we've covered the setting, the Beatitudes, and the witness of the kingdom of heaven. We've covered the messianic kingdom in relation to the law. And now we're in the development of kingdom life in the real world. And specifically, we're looking at a portion in religious life. So we could think of that today as in our church life as well. So that's kind of the outline of where we're at. It's kind of like a you are here in the journey of the Sermon on the Mount. And then after this section comes a warning, which, whoever's preaching on that, God bless you. So that's the last part of the sermon. I also just want to quick plug Bible Project, if you've not heard of them, is doing a series on the Sermon on the Mount right now. So they've got some really great stuff out there. But let's go back to the slide before Micah, the scene by your father. I wanted this, or as I was prepping and asking the Holy Spirit, it's a bit of a different direction. I mean, this sermon, you look, giving to the needy, you're like, okay, three-point practical sermon on what it means, how do we give to the needy? But that wasn't the direction I was being led in. I was being led towards the deeper connection to our Father's heart. And I think maybe there's some areas, I know there was for me, where he wants to reveal and heal our hearts. So that's why it's titled Seen by Your Father. So we're going to be looking at that theme. So let's start with verse 1. So let's go two slides to the, keep going, verse 1. So beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. It's interesting, isn't it? And then we have the contrast of doing something in secret and then your Father rewarding you. And then after this verse, we see the next verse. So when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and the street, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. So this is actually an illustration. So this whole thing starts off, if we go back to verse 1, this is where Jesus is starting. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. And then he explains this illustration of that cultural context where the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, would do this very public show of alms or fasting. And yeah, it was something that, yeah, it really, it was very open and very public. But he's saying here that actually, if we go to the next slide again, verse 2, when it talks about hypocrite, which I'm sure we've heard, and that's not something we like to hear, but it's giving the connotation of an actor playing a part, so an actor on a stage, or someone who wears a false face or a mask. So they're playing this part to win the approval of people, right? So there's this desire or motive that is driven by maybe a hurt, maybe a trauma, maybe something from our childhood, and it points back to sin, right? Heart issues, areas we need healing. And I want to just point out an interesting contradiction here. If you remember back in chapter 5, we talked about being light in the world. And I don't know if you, so he's saying, be light in the world. Don't hide your light under the basket. Let your light shine before others so they can see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So there's a kind of a contradiction going on here. Shine your light, but then so that your giving may be in secret and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So why is there this seeming contradiction? I think what Jesus is really getting at here is the heart and the motives. And one commentator says, so what he's dealing with here, as he is in the whole of the Sermon on the Mount, is this matter of our motives. We are not to practice our righteousness to be seen by people, as that indicates a wrong motive. So there's that misplaced desire. We want to be seen, we want to be recognized, we want to be approved of by others. So there's this hypocrite playing the part, putting a mask on. So now to add to all the concern about motives, Jesus is talking about rewards. What on earth, right? A lot of us are Protestants, I think, here. Maybe we've come from different backgrounds. But rewards, that's a pretty tricky, standoffish subject. You know, we are saved by grace through faith. There's no reward. Nothing except heaven, right? So how do we make sense of rewards? This is so interesting. So the Greek word used for reward in verse 2, because if you see actually, if you have an NIV, it says they've received their reward in full. Thanks, Micah. He's on it. He's switching things for me. he's received the reward in full. So that's actually the connotation of a receipt. So we can all relate to that. We go to the store, we buy something, we get a receipt, right? But that is a receipt, and that means you have no further claim to the reward. So that's what he's saying in verse 1 here, that your whole reward will be what people think of you, approval from others. That's it, not the Father's, because you're trying to fill up with what other people are giving you, right? So Earl, one of the commentators, says, Jesus is showing us the difference between the cheap rewards that people can give versus the eternal rewards that only God can give. One of the commentators says, the tragic irony, talking about the religious leaders, was that they had received their reward of public and professional acclaim, but that was all the reward they would receive, as such fleeting human adulation precludes satisfaction of the deepest longings of people's hearts to stand approved by their Father who sees in secret. So I think there's a few dangers here when we think about rewards. My story will come up later. I'm a very rewards-driven person. I like to prove myself, okay? I like to do things where I accomplish something. I'm a high achiever type. I'm like, cool, reward. But that's a danger for me because, ooh. And then some of us, we hear reward and we're like, oh my goodness, that's so deflating. That's so burdensome. I want nothing to do with that. Fair enough. And then there's some of us, we look at the reward. If we can go to the next verse, Micah, verse, yeah. For, and we struggle with people-pleasing, right? So we're like, oh, Jesus wants me to please him. So there's this pleasing. I have to do this, this, and this, and I'll please Jesus. And others of us, and like this is where our Protestant background comes in, we're like, rewards? That is so foreign. Like, we're supposed to just do things for the sake of it, right? Altruism, not because we get some reward, right? So I want to just take it a little deeper here. This is something that one of the commentators said. To avoid the idea of merits and reward, Reformation Protestantism has sometimes been reluctant to teach that God rewards us at all. But it is important that believers know their Heavenly Father notices what they do, and notices not in a merely deistic way, like a distant grandfather, but in a very personal way, like a living father, because he is a living father. And I really think that's what Jesus wants to touch on with us today. And I just for a second want you to think about the cultural context you're in right now. The Vancouver culture, the Canadian, North American cultural lens you live in. We're hyper-consumeristic. We're capitalist. We think of the idea of reward. When you see that, you think of earning it, money. You think of you're only going to get far in your job if you prove that you're good enough. You think of you get what you put in. You think you do X, you'll receive Y. You think in this consumeristic, we all do, transactional way. That's the place in our time and history that we're surrounded by that. And that is the cult. That is not the culture of the kingdom of God. That's the culture of this world. And I want to also say that some of our families of origin think this way too, right? This transactional thinking about rewards. Everything is a transaction, your workplace, your school, even in relationships. You do this, I give you this. Maybe we have a broken family dynamic. Maybe we never received healthy, unconditional love as a child. Maybe our families of origin put pressure on us. You got to earn your parents' favor. You got to earn their approval. You got to do things so they'll be proud of you. You got to live up to some unsaid or said family values or expectations. You got to please them, else they'll be upset with you. Do what they say, then they'll love you, then they'll approve of you. See how that can seep into our families, our culture, our place of origin, even when we were a child. And I think today, friends, Jesus really wants to show us what it means to live in his kingdom family, because it's upside down from even your own family, even and the world's understanding. Because love in his kingdom family is not based in what you do for him. It's based in who you are in Christ. It's based on what Christ has done for you. And it starts with healing in your heart. And I really want, I'm praying that God can abolish in my life and in our life this transactional way of thinking about him. If you want to go to the next slide. And I want him to introduce to us a transformational relationship with him. And what does that do? It takes down the walls that we've built up with Jesus. It takes down this, it softens the hardness. Because what is a transaction? It's something that's distant. You put something in front of yourself. You have a wall up, and you're doing a transaction. I'll do this, but you better give me that. That's not a transformational, that's not unconditional love. I really appreciate what Bruner says about this. So he says Matthew here uses the commercial term for a business transaction, paid in full. Paid in full means there's no reward left over from the Father. All the reward they'll get is people's admiration. This is the meaning of Jesus' word rewards. The word means a living, reciprocal, mutual relationship between father and child. And precisely because the relationship between father and child, the commercial factor falls away. So that transactional factor that maybe you're seeped in or you've grown up with, it falls away in relation to your heavenly Father. And I really love what Bruner says, because he makes the point that human beings, we are made in the image of God. What does that mean? He's our heavenly Father. When you're a child, what do children say? Watch me. Mom and Dad, watch me. Notice me. Look at me. We're made to be, we're as children, we want to be noticed by our parents. And when that, when that need isn't filled, and with sin, that becomes hard, and we can project onto God what our parents did or didn't do for us. And God made us. He's our heavenly Father. And we have this desire to be noticed, and he wants to meet that desire with his love and his approval. So what does this mean, have this transformational relationship with our Heavenly Father instead of a transactional one? I want to share personally, and this is why I have Kleenex. I mean, I've been crying while I prep it, so I'm like, I better have some of this. A little bit about my story. My dad and I have had, especially in my childhood and in my teenage years, not the best relationship. My dad, he speaks and travels, does prayer, speaking on prayer and revival all around the world. So I kind of grew up, my dad, honestly not being around a lot when I was a kid. And then when he was home, there was this emotional unavailability. He was tired. Like, he'd just done like a whole week of speaking and he'd be tired. And over time, my heart became hard towards him. I put walls up because he wasn't there for me. And then there were also attitudes of just not being, my dad had some attitudes of making, that would make me feel that I wasn't approved of or I wasn't good enough. And so that was kind of my relationship with my dad, basically until I was 18. And then that was the beginning of reconciliation when I was 18 with my dad. I was at Bible college in New Zealand. I know it's pretty cool. I got to go to New Zealand. I actually mostly went because I love Lord of the Rings and Jesus, but Jesus switched those priorities, but you know, went maybe not for the best motives. but I got to go to Bible college there, and my dad happened to be in New Zealand doing some preaching. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And he's like, cool, can I come and visit you? And I was like, oh, boy. So he comes and visits me. And then as soon as he meets, like, the principal is like, you should do some speaking here. And I'm like, oh, no. Because I'm just, when you're a pastor's kid or a missionary kid, I don't know if any of you have had that experience, but you're just like, I just want to be known for me. I don't want to be Gerard's daughter, because you have this pressure because people see you as, wow, you're Gerard's daughter. And I just was like, I had my friends there. I'd made my, you know, I wanted to just have this be my thing. And so eventually I agreed that he could come and speak. And then he wanted to take me out on a date, a dinner date. And we hadn't really done that a lot. And I was kind of like, this is weird, but okay, I'll go out for dinner with my dad. And we had this really lovely dinner. And I remember him just telling me more about himself and his life. And I remember looking across from him and saying to him, he tells this story too, but I said, Dad, I feel like I never knew you, right? I said, I feel like I never knew you. And then he cried, and I cried. And we asked for forgiveness from each other. And that was kind of the beginning of our reconciliation journey. And we've had to do some more of that along the way, of course. There was something recently, too, that we walked through, reconciliation journey. Why do I share this with you guys? I want to share the next slide. I just want to pose the question that maybe some of the walls we have up with God, some of the hardness, could be projecting what we've experienced from earthly parents, earthly father, mother, or lack thereof. I know some of us we never knew our father or mother. But we project that onto God, onto our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we keep him at a distance and we say, well, I'm going to prove myself to you because that's what I think I need to do. Or I'm gonna do this and then you'll love me. Or I'm going to be this. But we're keeping him at a distance. And that's we're looking for that reward in other people, right? We're looking to be seen by them. And then we see in verse 4, the Father who sees in secret will reward you. And it's not something transactional, that idea of reward. It's this invitation through grace, something transformational, where he wants to be close to you. A father's reward to his child is his greater closeness. And this is Bruner. Jesus' doctrine of rewards is decommercialized by its grammar of family. A decommercialized understanding of reward from your heavenly Father. He sees you. Let's go to the slide where Father in heaven sees us. You're seen. You don't need to live for the approval of others. Do you hear that? You don't need to live for the approval of others. You can live for the approval of your heavenly Father. And it's what he says is that you're already approved in Christ. And you know why? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. You can have that identity in Christ that says, you are approved. You're already good enough because of Christ. Right? You're seen, you're approved, you're loved, you're valued, you're worthy because of Christ. That's transformational. Nothing you can do. What did the Father say to Jesus after he was baptized? Does anyone know? You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. That is true of you. He wants you to know him for him, not what the hurt and the pain from your history with parents or family. He wants you to know him as his He is your perfect Heavenly Father who loves you perfectly and sees you and is so pleased with you. And that is the beginning of living for the Father's rewards. It's a different kind of reward, right? It's not based on anything you've done. It's based on grace, unmerited, undeserved favor. I just want you guys to take a few minutes. The next slide, if you can, Micah, with the response. Just take a few minutes and examine your heart. If there's any area where you feel you're hardened, you can pray, Jesus, please show me if there's any area where I'm hardened towards you or I have a wall up because of experiences with earthly parents. Jesus, please come into that area of my heart. Help me experience you. This is it. This is the thing. It has to go from up here. I'm telling you something and you're knowing it up here. Maybe you're starting to know it, but it has to go here. You got to experience it through the Holy Spirit as your perfect Heavenly Father. Heal me and help me to know that you approve of and see me. So I'll just give you a few minutes. If you have another thing you want to deal with God, go for it. But that's just a invitation to just be quiet with the Holy Spirit for a few minutes. And the worship team can play some keys if they like before we go into communion. I'll pray to close us. So just take a few minutes with Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you are here. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're present. I pray that you would plant a seed in our hearts that grows into something beautiful and that we would truly see you as our perfect Heavenly Father who loves us and approves of us and sees us. Because of Christ. And help, just pray for this time of communion that in the receiving of what you've done on the cross through the bread and wine, we would experience more of this freedom and healing in this area. In Jesus' name.